Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Yeah, we'll play swords. Hi, I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And I'm Rob Schneider, and I'm a little disturbed right
Welcome
now.
Welcome to Throwback Thursday, my favorite things.
Our favorite things. Raindrops on roses and...
I can't sing that low. I want it to be like the tenor version. Like, raindrops on roses.
I'm going to be honest with all of our listeners right now. I'll tell you why I was a little disturbed. I think we know you all well enough by this point. Both Kevin and I need to go to the restroom.
Right.
And there's only one bathroom where we're recording. Kevin said we could cross swords.
Yeah.
That disturbed me a little
play
bit.
Play swords, you know? Like,
okay. Even play swords has freaked me out.
Next.
But I would like to say that I'm so happy, Kevin, because this was the 20th guest that we just interviewed who asked us how long we've been together.
You're right. I shouldn't have laughed that hard. So, it's not like, oh, how dare I be married to you, Rob. No, I would be honored to be married to you, to be honest.
That is so sweet. My God, I appreciate that so much.
But it's true. It's true, though, that whenever I have to be careful when I say my partner, when I talk about this, because we do both have wedding rings on.
Yeah.
And I know, sorry, Sutton, but, you know, I've got another partner in this life, and his name is Rob Schneider.
Daniel understands as well that you are my other husband.
But they do. They often think that, and then you're like, oh, did they act differently this whole time, thinking that we were together? I don't know.
Well, as soon as we said that we were single, not single, that we were married to other people.
It's going well.
This is going really well. As soon as we said that, then I think they get a little bit more flirtatious.
Yes, the eyes light up a little
bit.
The
eyes light up because they always, and by the way, they always gravitate towards you.
No,
I just want you to know
that. He was all over you.
No. We're not going to even say who it was. I would like to remind you of a story, Kevin.
That you should tell.
I'm going to tell a story. I'm not going to mention any of it. I'm not going to say who it was. But Kevin and I went to go interview somebody, and we had to go back for another day of questioning, and I arrived before Kevin, and a gentleman opened the door, and without even a hello, just looked me in the eye and said, "Just you?" And I was like, "No, Kevin's coming along shortly." Then his eyes lit up.
No way.
I won't even say who it was.
Oh my gosh!
But I am hurt. I am hurt.
I know you bring up that story every chance you can.
It's like I want to be the pretty one, mama.
Oh, I'm a pretty girl. Pretty girl, mama.
Can I be a pretty girl, mama?
Oh, that's for my sister.
I'll be the Louise to your June for the rest of my life. That's okay.
How are you doing? Oh, I'm good.
Good. That makes me so happy.
Surviving this
here.
Winter.
It's cold here in New York City. I hope you're all bundled up where you are.
We had one day of like 65 degree weather, and then it was just cold again.
Away.
Yeah.
Have you seen any shows lately?
I saw In Transit.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
You know who I loved?
The beatbox guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please forgive me whose name I cannot remember right now.
There's two of them. And the one that I saw was like Box Mouth Charlie or something like that. I mean, I don't know. He had like a quote, you know, had like a nickname.
It's also a screen name on Adam for Adam. So it's not the same
what
person.
Is Adam for Adam?
This, never mind. Okay. We're going to move on.
Oh my God. It's like a website.
Okay. Yes, I'm sorry.
All right.
So you saw In Transit.
Uh-huh.
I saw, you know what I saw, and I know you saw too. We didn't see it together. The Front Page.
Oh, I did see The Front Page.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So just.
Oh, that was a great night.
For our listeners, Nathan Lane, Robert Morse, the original Finch.
Yeah. Had like what? A bit part in that. And
he was like 10 lines.
Yeah, I'll do it. And he killed it.
He
swept the stage with it.
Right? John Goodman, John Slattery.
I had such a great time. I could not believe that this was a play from the 1920s written by a bunch of journalists.
Isn't it so cool? And I have to tell you, one of the things that I thought, I got a big kick out of this. I don't know if you did too. At the end of the show for the curtain call, the curtain goes back up and the entire cast which is like 20 plus people, are all on that stage behind the curtain in a tableau. And when is the last time you've seen in a play on Broadway a cast that size?
That's a really great point. Teaming.
They had to do two lines curtain call because they couldn't get everybody across the stage.
That is exactly right. In a play, in a three-act play at that, that I felt like it moved along for me so well. It felt like I was watching a TV show in a way. And I mean that as a compliment. I mean, because I know our attention span these days is such where we're not used to three acts.
And that's
August Osage County outside.
Of course.
I mean, but yeah.
But that's the genius, I think, of Jack O'Brien and that cast to make that thing percolate and come to life and move forward.
So many personalities in there.
Oh, my gosh. So many wonderful personalities in there.
Incredible.
Now, have you seen anything else?
Let's see. In Transit, that was a really great night. Falsettos, of course.
I saw Falsettos. Cried like a baby.
Oh, my gosh. I'm trying to think.
I saw.
What?
Bronx Tale.
Lucky.
It was lovely. Yeah? I really liked it. I really liked it.
Directed by the great musical theater director, Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro.
You're going to say Jerry Zaks. But.
No. I don't think a lot of people know this, but Robert De Niro was also the choreographer on the piece.
Shut your face.
Robert De Niro is also known as one of the greatest musical theater choreographers. I saw Robert De Niro's production of Very Good Eddie at the Goodspeed Opera House.
Oh.
And it was really, really good. That's really well. Too much tap.
Yeah,
I thought Mr.
He relies on the hoofing too much.
Yeah, I wish he would just calm down
just
a little bit. You know,
oh, gosh,
be more like Rob Ashford.
Can't hear any.
Settle.
Oh
my gosh. So, what is your favorite thing?
Well, I thought today I would do more of a favorite memory.
Touch me. It's so easy to leave me.
Lonnie Ackerman, 1985. That's my favorite one. No, I was that the right year?
Thank you.
I didn't know if you could get. Okay, good. No, you know, we're older now. We're not older-ish, but we are. We're not young anymore. I'm thinking, hearkening back to the days when you first came to New York.
Sunrise, sunset.
Well, I said we're not young anymore, but I'm like, well, we're not old, but we're not what's old anyway. Like, after all these interviews we've had, all the 95-year-olds are like, I'm still 25 inside, you know?
I would like to say on our Charles Strauss interview, Charles actually kicked us out of the apartment because he had more work to do.
Yeah, he did. He was like,
so
guys, I know you're probably busy. I'm having a great time, but I've got a to-do list on my piano.
I gotta get back to work.
Yeah, and we were like, okay.
Well, okay, great.
All right.
Awesome.
Chuck, sounds good. So I thought my favorite thing today would be an old memory to share with you about how crazy and obsessed with musical theater I was and still am, but the lengths I would go to celebrate my nerddom. And for most of you who know me, you're not going to be surprised at all. But when I first came to New York in 2002, I saw every, because I had my Equity card when I came to New York, because I got it over the summer, and I went to see, you could see showcases for free. So showcases are Equity approved performances where they can hire actors that are at Equity, and in return, Equity actors can see them for free. And four nights a week, I was seeing theater. I would go to the Equity building, I would write down, you know, what was playing around town, and I would go see
Sweetheart.
Everything was horrible. I mean, like, everything was awful back.
Sorry.
There were some good things, but no, there were it was some basements I went to. I saw plays with people throwing dirt at each other and things that you've never heard of again, but
you obviously did not like my production of Mr. Wonderful.
Well, it was special.
Okay.
It was. But that's not my memory. My memory is that Cass Morgan, the great Broadway actress who has been in, I mean,
for a second,
you thought I meant Mama Cass. You looked at me like,
where the fuck is this story going?
Cass Morgan.
She choked on a ham sandwich.
Oh, stop it.
All the leaves are
you choking? Are you choking? So not appropriate if anyone's ever lost someone to choking. Okay. Cass Morgan, who also helped write and perform in Pump Poison Dinettes in the 80s, then became pretty much played every single mom you could think of on Broadway. But she was in my favorite musical, Violet, of course, and she was in lots of others.
Wasn't she in Bridges of Madison County?
Isn't she the
neighbor?
Yeah. Yeah, every single country music. She was in Memphis. She played the sassy white lady in Memphis that sang
the
that
mom.
Song.
Yeah.
But in 2002, she lives in Westchester, and she was doing a one-woman performance piece of herself in songs at some church or some, you know, venue in Westchester. And so crazy Kevin that I was, I heard about it. I saw that she was performing a new Stephen Schwartz song. And this is right after, you know, Wicked hadn't even opened yet. Wicked even wasn't even there yet. But I knew I wanted to hear a new Stephen Schwartz song. So I was like, oh man, I need to see this performance. So what I did, nerd Kevin, because I graduated from college and we were taught back then to send postcards to people. So I said,
black and white?
Yes.
Black and white. Yes, black and white.
And it was a postcard of like your headshot on it.
Were you
with
wearing,
like one or two pictures, you
were
know?
Were you wearing denim in any of them?
I'm sure I was wearing.
Yes, you were.
Denim and a black shirt.
Yes.
And my hair was short, like with like, not, wasn't frosted tips yet. Like I went, got on a cruise line. But I,
you, you should get see the frosted tips.
Rob's look on his face. I remember the hairdresser. I remember what she said. I remember she was like, no, everyone's
don't do
doing
this.
It. No. She was like, everyone's doing this. You should get frosted tips. It was not the 90s. It was 2003, but still, it was like the 90s when I got done.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, anyway, that's another thing. So, but yes, I had all of it. So I sent this postcard to Cass Morgan to the theater, to the, I think the theater where she was working. I don't know how I got the address. But I'm like, I want her to know I'm coming to see her show. So I sent it to her in a card. That's what it was. I said,
Wait. You didn't send it to her afterwards saying, hey, what a great job. You sent it to her before saying, I'm coming to see you.
Yes. And there's a follow up. So the day of, I don't have a lot of money. I take the train. It's a whole day event to go see this one act, one person show up in the middle of nowhere. I had to take the Metro North. I had to get off of the train station. I had to walk to the bus stop. I had to wait for the Westchester bus that would take me a mile. I could have walked, but there was no sidewalks in Westchester because it's like in Briarcliff or something like that. And so I take the bus. I get off. I get to where this like church is. And I walk in, and everyone knows each other. I don't know anybody. I sit in the back. I watch it. It's good. It's fine. I wait for her afterwards to say hi. I'm like, hi, I'm Kevin David Thomas. I'm a big fan. And she's like, oh, you're the one that sent me that picture. And she walked away.
That's all she said.
That's it. She was just like, she's like, thanks for coming. And then that's it. I think she was like, who is this weirdo that came all the way to see me sing these songs at this theater?
Did you have the frosted tips when you confronted her?
No, thank God I didn't.
That might be why she didn't want to talk. But okay.
I should have had the tips.
Oh my, that's terrifying.
So I went to like, so my nerdy moment of memory is that I went out of my way to go see this woman's show. I harassed her basically beforehand so that I could harass her after, and she remembered that I did, and then since then I've never ever sent another postcard.
I want people to send you a postcard now. Let's send postcards
because
I was like
this was too much. That was too much showbiz mixed with fandom.
It's,
you know,
that's I totally understand what you're saying, but God bless you for sharing that story.
But I really wanted to, like, I don't know, I was so hungry to be a part of any part of it that I couldn't afford to go see Broadway shows that weren't papering, you know, because you go to the Equity Building and they'd have free tickets sometimes. But so I would just go any way that I knew how to. So that was it, you know. But
I think that's wonderful. I think it's great that you wrote her a postcard ahead of time. I think it's wonderful because I think it shows how supportive you are of other artists.
Well, thank you. And it's my dream someday that we meet her, we interview her, and I ask her about that show.
You're going to yell at her, aren't you?
I'm going to say, you know what? I got another postcard, and they're in color. So there.
You have held a grudge against this woman.
No, quite the opposite. I'm really? Such a fan. Oh, I'm such a fan. I was just saying that to like be funny. But it really was awkward. I mean, it was awkward.
Did you cry?
No, I cried when I met Yanni.
And
I'm just gonna let that one. I'm just gonna let that just.
Not Lonnie.
Nope. Yanni.
Yanni.
No, there's no last name. It's just Yanni.
Yanni, for our listeners who
international musician Yanni.
A lot of new age music, right?
Yep,
a lot of crystals. And
we don't call it new age.
Oh, I'm sorry. What do you call it?
Adult contemporary.
Adult contemporary.
Or adult alternative, maybe. I don't know. It's
we don't call it new age anymore.
No,
wasn't he married to Linda Evans?
He was.
From Dynasty.
Some say that she actually, this is a real non sequitur, but some say that she really helped him really get his career going. And then the minute his career got like really, really big, he was out the door. I read that biography, so I know. I'm not a fan or anything. I don't know.
What's your favorite Yanni song?
I don't think I. Yeah. That is not how it goes at all.
That was my 32 bars of my Yanni.
Your 32 bars. No, I am
actually. Would you
actually,
like me to grab a rain stick?
Didgeridoo.
That's it. Didgeridoo.
I'm a huge fan of Yanni. I was at one point in my life, just like I also was a huge fan of Sarah Brightman. But now we're just going. I can't give you all of my secrets.
What was it about Yanni? Was John Tesh unavailable?
Dear God, no. John Tesh is awful. I love. He doesn't hold a candle.
But Yanni is.
He
wonderful.
Doesn't hold a candle to Yanni. At one point in my life, I wanted to make a musical using all of Yanni's. No, this is like when I was in high school. This is like high school, Kevin, because obviously. 36-year-old Kevin would never think of this.
Heard about this before.
I had every single album that was ever made. I've seen him in concert 4 times. I will admit that in the last decade or so of my life, it's not been a passion. But it really was, Rob. Like, at one point in my life, like, I loved his music. I really liked the sound. He writes orchestral music when he got really famous.
But Kevin, I don't know any Yanni music. Like, how does it go? Like, I really don't
know.
It
sounds like, if classical music never got more complex and it just stayed pretty simple with fundamental harmonies some world sounds, it sounds like you go to bed in the morning, you go to bed at night, and it's what you want to listen to. It makes you feel. It's just, I always liked it. It made you feel good music.
I didn't know that about you. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, and when he plays with an orchestra and all of that, like his songs have, I mean, they're, I don't know, he... This is opening up a can of worms that is like so deep that I would have to lose lose all of our listeners by going into it.
So my mom and your mom would turn us off, is what you're saying?
Yes, my Got mother it. Even right now is probably laughing so hard and rolling her eyes at the same time.
My mom is saying, googling Yanni right now.
I guarantee she just said, "Kevin, you dork."
Oh no! I think it's wonderful.
No, it is wonderful, and says it with love. But when I met him, and I cried afterwards because I was so excited. But I have to. Oh, I'm just going to tell you the story. My Yanni story. I waited in line with all these other 50-year-old women for 4 hours at a Barnes & Noble outside Chicago in 2003. And I waited in line, and then I got to him, and I was so excited. I was shaking. I don't get starstruck as much anymore. Mm-hmm. But back then, I was like knees shaking, everything, because I just had seen him in concert so much. Whatever. I'd never met anybody famous. And I came up to him and I was thinking all the things I could say, and like, thank you for the music and whatever, all the cliches, nerdy things. And his pen didn't work, and he signed my book, and he kind of smiled. He kind of looked up at me like, whoa, what's this kid doing here? This is a straight 23-year-old male. Like, this isn't normal. And then I looked at him, and he had just broken up with Linda Evans, and he was taking a break from writing music, and I just wanted to inspire him. So I just said, looked straight in his eyes, and I said, Yanni, keep on trucking. I swear to God. And he, what that laugh, what you just did, he looked like he stopped. Like, it actually, because he was in the routine, sign, go, sign. And he was like, sign, keep on trucking. He stopped, and he kind of looked at me like, the fuck? And I was like, bye. And then I left. And then I called my mom, and I was like, Mom, I can't believe I just told Yanni to keep on trucking. She started laughing, and that's when she said, Kevin, you're such a dork. But with love.
I promise you, if I die, I want on my tombstone, Yanni, keep on trucking. Like, I want that engraved on my tombstone, because that's the most brilliant thing I've ever heard of in my life. You looked at Yanni
in the eyes.
You have
like,
to encourage
keep
Yanni.
Keep on trucking.
Yanni,
keep
on trucking.
Yeah, don't give up, Yanni.
Jeez, KDT.
Yeah, I know. I just gave you like a bunch of gems. I must be tired today because I'm
That's
not even like.
Great. Yanni, keep on trucking. That's going to be our tagline.
Whenever I hear keep on trucking, I mean, it's a family story to this day. It is. We joke and we say keep on trucking.
I heard that it's actually your AOL password. You want to sign back into your IM account.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater Get your tickets today at SuffsMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Yanni, keep on trucking. I was trying to think of when I'll tell you a story about meeting a celebrity that meant a lot to me.
Okay.
It's similar to your Cass Morgan story.
Mama Cass Morgan?
Mama Cass Morgan. I'm so sorry. I was like, how did you meet her, Kevin? She's been dead for years. Yeah. Here's mine.
Okay.
Okay. So I make no bones or shame about how much I love the wonderful, the great B. Arthur, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I've loved Bea Arthur for years and years and years. In fact, I didn't even love her first from Golden Girls. I loved her first from my VHS copy of the movie of MAME.
Oh.
Because I think she's the best thing in that movie. We've seen that movie, right? We've talked about that movie before,
I have not seen it in recent years. Like, I watched it in college, but I feel like everything you watch in college, you got to watch it again after you get a little older.
Well, I hope now that you're older, you'll notice that every time Lucille Ball is on camera, they Vaseline the hell out of the lens.
Don't
to make
they?
Her look younger. So like everyone else is really clear. And then you're like, is that Lucille Ball in fog? Like,
right.
You have to like get through to see it.
And interesting that Bea Arthur made it to the movie. Like,
well, guess who directed it?
Her husband.
Yeah, he directed the movie and he directed. Well, first of all, she's brilliant in the role. That makes it sound like she's
totally
not
no,
right
I'm
for the role.
But you're just so used to hearing people not get the part in the movie because, you know, they did on Broadway.
But I fell in love with her in the movie because I thought she was so funny. And she is so funny in that movie.
Yeah.
There are some gems in that movie. My favorite part in the whole movie, and it still makes me laugh today, and I'll tell you why this connects in a second, is when she's just in the horrible production of that Lady Astronomer musical that she's in.
The Man in the Moon.
Lucille Ball totally fucks it up. So B. Arthur is devastated. So she goes back to her dressing room and she's crying, and there's this little old dresser that's trying to help her get undressed, this old woman. And like Bea Arthur turns around and just slaps her across the face. And the old woman just turns around and slaps her right back. And Bea Arthur has a moment where they just look at each other and Bea Arthur just goes and like bursts into tears. And the old woman like holds her and comforts her. It is the funniest part of the whole movie.
Right,
that and also trying to act like Lucille Ball is 30. But that's the other second part of the movie. Open a new window.
Lower. Can I get this lower?
What if I swing on the chandelier during Open a New Window?
Didn't we interview someone who was in the movie MAME?
Did we?
Mm-hmm.
Larry Merritt
thank you.
Was in the back.
Yep,
so anyway,
answer.
I fell in love with Bea Arthur. Then I fell in love with her because they used to play the Golden Girls all the time.
Still do. Still, we just watched it last night.
And she makes me so happy. She had a one-woman show.
I know. I saw it.
It was called Bea Arthur. You saw it, too?
Okay, yeah.
Great. It was called Bea Arthur, Just Between Friends.
Uh-huh.
And she was coming to Thousand Oaks, California.
Oh, wow.
Where
she toured with it. I saw it on the White Way.
The Great White Way.
Yeah.
And she was doing it in concert. And I saved up all of my money.
Oh, my God. You must have been so freaked out.
Like, I put on my little suit and tie.
How old were you?
I was... Well, I was like in my early 20s, so it's not so cute anymore, but just try to go with it.
No, I was going, sorry, the little was the, I'm kidding, like your little suit. And I just pictured this little, like, little suit.
It makes it sound cute if you imagine me doing this at a young age.
Gotcha.
When I'm in a grown man, it's kind of pathetic.
No, I love
or
it.
Or pathetic. just go with me
okay.
on this one.
All right, we got a little suit and tie.
So I sat in the front row.
Oh, front row.
Are you kidding? Where else would I sit for her?
True.
Balcony
and paw
for that, and I was enraptured. There she was, live and in front of me, and wonderful. And I was leaving, and I was going to go into my car. And I've never done this before. I've never waited at a stage door before.
Uh-huh.
This is my feeling. It's probably not the correct feeling. My feeling is that they've worked very hard. I don't need to try to bother them on the way out the door by saying, like,
that's nice.
Like, you know, could you sign something?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just me. I've never been one to be like, sign my autograph.
Yeah.
Book. I'm just like, go. Live your life. Live your dreams.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for such a wonderful evening.
Truly.
And also, in some way, it kind of ruins the magic
for
me.
Well, you have the risk of it because we've all met people backstage, perhaps, that were not as effervescent as they appeared to be on stage.
You know who the best is, though, coming from the stage door? Is Sutton Foster.
Ah, I buy that, yeah.
I saw her in Millie, and I was with a friend who didn't want her autograph, so we did wait by the stage door. She had just won the Tony Award. She was the toast of Broadway. She had just carried a whole show on her shoulders for 2.5+ hours. She stayed and signed every single person's playbill, poster, took photos with absolutely everybody.
Wow. That's classy.
Very classy. And then, what was the last thing she was just in? What was the last thing she just did?
Sweet Charity she's doing right now.
Before that, the last Broadway show she did. Anyway, same. Oh, no. We worked on a Sinatra concert together.
Oh.
And I was leading her from the elevator to the rehearsal hall. And this was over at like Ripley Greer. She had just gotten off of a plane after a holiday. She was exhausted. She was dead tired. And would you not believe that every single like 19 and 20 year old who stopped her at Ripley Greer, she stopped, took a photo, signed an autograph, listened to them talk. And I'm like, that is so fucking classy.
Yeah, that is. And that's like really classy.
You don't see that a lot. You don't see that a lot.
There's not in this day of social media and all of that where everything's a little removed. And
no.
It's just really classy.
I mean, I know people that, you know, they bolt to their cars and they don't even have like a tenth of the talent
totally
that she has.
Yeah.
That's just me being bitter. Bitter. But Bea Arthur's. But I was leaving. I was going to my car and I'm like, no. You're going to tell her how much she means to you.
Aw.
So I went all the way to the stage door, and there was a huge line.
Yeah.
It was a long walk from the stage door to where her car was. I mean, it was like a really long alleyway. People were all lined up and were waiting, and it started to rain. And she was signing people's things.
Oh,
and I
was she
at
was.
The end of the line, yep, right by her car. And then finally, her handler came out and was like, that's it. No more for Miss Arthur. She's going home. And he took her to the car. And he put her in the passenger seat, and he got into the driver's seat, her handler. And I was about to turn away, and I was like, this is your one chance to meet her. So
I'm on the edge of my seat right now.
I threw my Kodak Instamatic camera.
Dear God.
The disposable camera.
Yeah, yeah.
To my friend. I threw open her car door.
What?
I got on my knees, and I said, take the picture.
No!
And we took the picture.
No!
And I looked at her and I said, thank you very much, Miss Arthur. And she went, And I slammed the door.
Oh, my God!
And they drove away.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
And there is a photo of me and Bea Arthur. And she is absolutely terrified by the young man in the unit.
You're wearing your unit?
Yeah, I threw open the car
door. Dear God, can we please?
Yeah, I threw it open.
We have to post it. I mean,
yeah, I'll post it. I had no shame. I had absolutely no shame.
I cannot believe that I can't believe, A, she didn't lock that door before when she got.
I'm showing Kevin the photo right now.
You guys, all right, the things I want you to notice when you look at this photograph. All right, number one, yes, Rob has a really nice little suit on. He looks really cute. He's really sweet.
When you look at it, I'm wearing the Regis look, which was really popular because he was doing Who Wants to Be a Millionaire at the time.
Yes.
The suit is the same color as the dress shirt.
I thought that was right. The unit is quite lovely. I feel like there's a red tint to it a little bit.
Yes, I was in my Little Orphan Annie face.
But B,
I was a big fan of Carrot
Top.
B
has full show makeup on. She kind of looks like the drag queen, Bea Arthur.
Yes.
And she looks terrified. She doesn't look terrified of you. She looks terrified of the camera.
Yeah, because there was a pretty bright flash, as you can tell in that photo. That hasn't been enhanced.
It looks like you're grabbing the side of the passenger other side of the doorway.
You say grabbing. She said blocking. So she couldn't close the door.
Wow. When I said to you today, do you think you'll have an old nerdy moment? I didn't know that was.
You mean where I assaulted Tony and Emmy Award winner Beatrice Arthur?
I mean, you threw open her door and got down on your knees so you could take a picture with her.
But can I tell you the next part of the story, which was really classy?
There's more.
Yeah. She did the show twice.
Uh-uh.
So I went back a second time.
No.
In the front row.
No.
She comes out on stage at the beginning, applause, she nods, And she sees me in the front row and she just winks at me.
No, no, she didn't.
Yeah.
No way.
She winks
no
at
way.
Me. I think I'd like to think that she admired my chutzpah.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
I dream the dream of days to come, where sponsorship is high and money is forthcoming.
That's beautiful, Kevin.
No, I really added a voice onto that one, too. I really was trying to go for something there.
Listeners, we love creating this podcast, but it does cost money. Please don't make me sell my Angel record.
Oh my gosh, the original cast recording of Angel.
That, like, nobody has.
Nobody has it.
If you like what we are doing and want us to keep doing more of it, please head over to patreon.com.
What?
That's patreon.com.
Patreon.
Patreon.
Yeah,
Patreon.
Rion.
Patreon.
Yeah, and once you're there, search for Behind the Curtain Broadway's Living Legends. And of course, we don't expect you to give without receiving some great rewards.
Such rewards include behind-the-scenes videos,
ooh,
shout-outs on future episodes, or episodes, depending on what part of the country you're from, because I said episodes, and early access to some of our podcasts. Hell, for the right price, Kevin and I will come to your apartment and act out all of Agnes of God.
So head over, friends, to patreon.com to help us out.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah,
not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.